You're listening to a message presented at Green Bay First. More information about Green Bay First can be found online at www.greenbayfirst.net. May God draw you closer to Him as you listen.
Well, here we are, Green Bay First and New Freedom Church, daring to dream a little bit, daring to ask the Lord, Father, thy will be done. Amen. So this morning, would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. I have on my clock, it is 10:38. I'm going to be very mindful of the time. It's Mother's Day. I get it. This is only a small portion of your time. I want to encourage you as you're turning there that when the votes are all turned in, and I believe they probably are at this point, at the end of the service, they will be counted. We will stand back up and have another set of worship while the votes are being counted, and then we will come in after knowing what the count is, and it'll be revealed, all right? So I am in anticipation of what God is going to be doing, and because of that, God has led me to this particular verse today in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Father, again, I thank you for your word. It never returns void. It always hits its mark. It always perseveres. It always stands resolute. It never shifts or changes. Your word is constant when everything else around us, maybe we can't decipher between a lie and truth. We know that the one place we can go to is your word because it is the word of truth. And because of that, we can hang our hat on it. And so today, Father, we choose to trust you and walk in step with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, being led by the Spirit is not a new thing. It's not some thing that we've just come up with in the last 5 or 10 years. It's not some catchy cliche. It's not some kind of catchy phrase that we can hang on our walls and decorate the walls in a sanctuary. Being led by the Spirit originated when Jesus said, I only want to do what I see my Father in heaven doing. Amen? And so, being led of the Spirit is not a new thing. Look in Matthew 4:1. It tells us this. It should be up on the board for you. It tells us this. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Acts 20, verse 22, Paul says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. So we see throughout all of Scripture, men and women of God being led by the Spirit. And being led by the Spirit means that we expressly accept not knowing everything. Now, I know that's tough for some of you. It's tough for me. I love to know everything. We live in a land of Google, right? We can know pretty much anything. Now you don't even have to touch the button, apparently, on the phones. You can just shout it out. I just think that's weird, right? So if you got one of those in your home and you're asking Siri all the time how to make so-and-so or helping kids with science projects or whatever, that's awesome. But it's a little weird to me. But being led by the Spirit means that we expressly accept not knowing everything and trusting that where He is leading you, He is getting the glory and it's for your good. If you are not Spirit controlled, we will miss out on what God is doing or wants to do in our lives. So here's the thing. This isn't for my wife, by the way. I went into my 13-year-old's bedroom, and I got a hold of a bunch of Legos. How many of you guys love Legos. How many of you guys have stepped on Legos? How many of you guys said stuff you weren't supposed to say when you stepped on Legos? Y'all the only saved people in the bunch. You fall down to your knees, right? Legos, I'm not good at putting stuff together, all right? I'm not, like, I look at the picture and I'm thinking, okay, I live in the land of good enough and I think I can put it together based on the picture I see, right? So I'm looking in here and I didn't bring all the Legos, just enough to put half of the stuff in a bag. And so I'm looking at this stuff and it gives me heart palpitations just looking at it, all right? So you look at this and you look at this and a couple of other pieces here and they're all different. All of them tell a different story. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to step off stage here and I'm going to let you have one of these right here. You go ahead and take one. Hold on to that. If you would you hang on to that right there? I know it doesn't look like much. Honey, would you hold on? Happy Mother's Day, all right? Happy Mother's Day. Come over here. Would you hold on to that? At least you know what this is. Maybe. It's round. It may be a wheel. I'm not sure. All right? So if you'll take a look at that, you'll see that that is just one piece of a massive puzzle that you have no way of figuring out what it is. And so when we are being led by the Spirit of God, as children of God, we've got to be okay with taking a step in faith. This walk that we walk is by faith and not by sight. Scripture tells us the only way to please God is by coming to Him in what? By faith. And so we've got it mixed up. Somewhere we have started to believe that whatever we put our hands to, somehow God's going to bless. But let me, or that He's going to bless our plans. After we have developed our plans, He's going to bless it. That's not the way Scripture works. After we have prayed and we have felt like God is leading us into a direction, we step. We may not know what is around the corner, but we step. And so when we pray and fast about a job or pray and fast about a direction or pray and fast about God's will on our life, this is what the Spirit of God does. He hands you a piece of the puzzle. And we look at it and we say, that's not how I envisioned this to work out. This is not how I planned it. This is not how I envisioned it in my head, because in my head, I've got it all figured out. It looks a certain way, and in my head, it's right, and it pleases me. But God said, what originated in your head is not what has originated in my heart for you, so I want you to do like an Etch-a-Sketch and shake it up, because I've got a new picture for you. Did I go over some of your heads with the Etch-a-Sketch thing? That's like a generational thing right there. So I should have had it up on the board what an Etch-a-Sketch is. But here's the thing. So we get our puzzle piece. We get our Lego and we look at it and we say, I don't understand what this is. And the Lord will say, if you'll walk by my Spirit, if you'll step when I tell you to step, and if you'll turn when I tell you to turn, I'm going to give you another piece. And if you get confused about the direction that I'm going, then I've got a book for you. It's called My Word. And if you'll dive into My Word, if you'll follow it closely, if you'll hide its words in your heart so that you may not sin against me, it will all work out and make sense. But you got to read the book. You got to read the directions. Without the directions, you'll not know how to make the Ninja Turtle Raptor set. All right? And so what happens is that when we take another step, the Lord begins to give us another piece. He's not going to trust us with a piece until we have stepped out into faith and obedience into where He's asked us to go in the first place. Some of you may be arrested in development because you've been disobedient for 10 years. You've been stuck holding your puzzle piece, trying to figure out how it's supposed to bend and turn and stretch, and you tried to conform it into your own will and your own understanding, and for some reason it's not worked out. And so we're stuck with this one piece. Maybe your life has been void of all faith for a long period of time, and you've leaned on your own understanding. You've not used faith because faith is uncomfortable. Can I be honest with you today? Faith is not my go-to thing. Now, I know that sounds weird coming from a pastor, but I'm not built that way. I'm built to be comfortable upon what I see, upon what I understand. I remember one time when I was in college, I was a lead RA. That means that you're over a whole floor of people. I got to inspect rooms. I got to discipline students, all that stuff. And so the very last night of my college career, my floor decided to pull a prank on me, and they grabbed the fire extinguisher. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and they stuck that fire extinguisher underneath my door and unloaded the entire thing. Yep. We were on the 7th floor. There was no getting out of there quickly. And so they started banging on the door, fire, fire. Yes, really smart, right? And so I woke up out of a stupor, put on my pants, and shot out the door. Now, we're trained as RAs to go knocking on the doors, right? To go knock on the doors and wake everybody up because there's a fire. And so what did Jimmy Mack do? Put on his pants and went straight down the exit door, down the stairs, 4 flights of stairs, and it hit me. I didn't knock on doors. And so I ran back upstairs in a panic, pants probably on backwards, and started knocking on doors, and all of a sudden, all these guys piled out of their rooms, laughing hysterically. And then I kicked them all out of school immediately, right then. It's one of those things. And so in the middle of that, in our confusion, when life hits us, when somebody sticks a fire extinguisher underneath our door sometimes and panic sets in, faith is not the first thing we run to. We run for the exit sign because that is the easiest, quickest way out of a situation. But in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of confusion, faith must be what we go to. If we don't, we will run hysterically, missing our opportunity, missing our appointment, missing our destiny, missing our call because we're running scared and not walking by faith. Being led by the Spirit means that you expressly accept not knowing everything and trusting that where He is leading you is for His glory and for your good. Faith is hard. Faith can be scary. Don't let anybody tell you that it's always peaceful. Don't let anybody tell you that faith is always going to be easy, that it's never going to be complicated, that nobody's going to ever understand why you're doing what you're doing, where you're going, why you're believing what you're believing. Stand firm in the middle of the storm and be confident at what God has given you, and by His grace, He will see you through. Amen? So when the Lord hands us our Lego piece, it's time for us to believe for another piece. It's time for us to believe for what's around the corner because He has a plan for you. And when that time comes for you to take another step, He's going to give you another piece. And if you trust Him, that piece is going to suit your life. It's going to bring glory to Him and blessing to you. Listen, it's not the other way around. He doesn't bless us just to bless us. He blesses us so that He can get the glory because He said if He would be lifted up, He would draw all men unto Himself, right? And so it's time that we stop drawing all men unto us and our own talents and our own means and understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, then He will direct our path. He will make it straight. Now don't assume also that the Spirit-led life means that He will always lead you by still waters. Notice what Jesus did in Matthew 4:1. tells us Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by none other than the devil himself. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil himself. Paul said, I'm compelled by the Spirit. I am going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me. So here's the question. If the Bible makes it clear that being controlled by the Spirit is so vital, so necessary, what prevents so many of us from fully surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leading? The answer is simple, because we prefer to be in control. We prefer to put our hands on things. We prefer to lean on our own understanding. We prefer to dive into our own resources, because it's in our own understanding and resources. We know how much money we have. We know what we're capable of doing. We know how much we can forgive. And because of that, we're comfortable living in that. The problem is that it's limited at best. And Jesus tells us that He is our all in all, that if we are connected to the vine, then we will bear fruit and lasting fruit. But we love to be in control. Jesus gives us a gut check moment. He said, you are the branches. I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do, say it together, nothing. He said, you are the branches. I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I used an illustration one time. I went in my backyard, and on one of our big trees that we have in our backyard, I plucked off a limb that was probably about maybe 3 feet in length, and it looked just like a little tree. I got a bucket, put dirt in it, stuck it in there. And then I put little spikes around it to support it, and it looked like a full-on bona fide tree. So I brought it in, and I preached a sermon about the vine and the branches. And I talked about how beautiful this tree was the entire sermon. I talked about its leaves and how beautiful it is and how much promise that it has and that it's going to grow up to be this big tree. But what happens is that we get it backwards sometimes. We believe we are the vine, that He is the branch, that we can do without Him. If it falls off, it's no big deal. We still got other branches. The other branches will still produce fruit. So God, you're important, but you're not a necessity. And so, but what I said was, when we get into that mindset, we are only a poor example of what God really wants out of our lives. And I took that branch that everybody thought was a tree, and I pulled it up out of the dirt and revealed that it was just a branch. And that if we keep acting like we are the vine, then we are only a stick in the mud. We're a cheap version of the true vine. We can produce no fruit. So I plucked that branch out that morning so that the leaves would not fade or wither. And so I said, you better enjoy your beauty now, because you were detached from the vine. Therefore, you have no substance coming to you, no nutrients, no hope of a future. You will never bear fruit again. So enjoy your beauty right now. And for so many people, they choose to do that every single time. They choose the now. They choose what they can see. They choose the beauty of what will no longer be. And they trade it for the eternal. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our minds say, I will serve the Lord, but I will remain in control while I do it. That mindset is not how the church began. The church began with Spirit-controlled Christians who yielded themselves to God. The irony of the Spirit-filled life is that we have to give up power in order to gain greater power. How many times in your Christian walk have you come to a place where you struggled to do something, so you tried to do it harder? You tried harder to read your Bible. You tried harder to pray longer. You tried harder to love the unlovable. You tried harder to find courage when you felt afraid. How did that work out for you? Trying harder doesn't work out very well for believers. Christianity isn't a self-effort religion, but rather one of dead men that have died to themselves and are now under the influence and leading of the risen Christ. Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. Philippians 2:13 says this, For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. So who is it that works in you to will and act according to fulfill his purpose? It is God who works in you. We've got to come to terms within ourselves that there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. We love to see ourselves as good, but Scripture tells us that we were dead in our sins, that we were wretched at best, that we were detached from the true vine. But Jesus came in and he changed the equation completely. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That means he has got to be our source. He's got to be our understanding. He's got to be our hope. He's got to be our sustenance, because without him, we are nothing. The Spirit is the only one who can produce self-discipline, love, and boldness. But to do so, he has to control us daily. That's why we cannot afford to rest on our religious experiences we had years ago. It's good to remember what God has done, but it's better to be led by the Spirit today. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. Now is the time. Amen? Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Allow the Spirit of God to control your heart, to step in and give you strength, give you power and understanding and love to love those who have sinned against you. Because without that, we cannot stand. So what do we do? So what do we do to be controlled daily and be led by the Spirit of God? 1 Timothy 1:6-7 says this, For this reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Man, I love that scripture. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Whatever Timothy did, he was to prevent the fire from going out. He was to give attention to it, to take care of it, to nurture it, to feed it. I love to go in the backyard and build a fire. Roast marshmallows, do s'mores, all that stuff, hot dogs, you name it. My s'more, I like to take it and just burn it. You know, I don't know how you guys like it. Some there's like variations, right? But I love backyard fires. I love it. I love the way it smells. I love everything about it. But in order for me to continue to have a fire, I've got to stoke it. What does stoking it do? It gives it oxygen. It fuels it. It fans into flame to give us warmth and to give us a fire so that we can cook our hot dogs, right? So that we can make our s'mores. And here, Timothy is told to fan into flame the gift of God. to tend it, to nurture it, to don't take your eye off of it. Because when you do that for the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's what tending the fire does. It gives us power. It gives us love. It gives us self-discipline. And that love and that power and self-discipline did not originate from us, but came straight from the Father to us. Amen? Charles Finney, 19th century Presbyterian minister, said in his lecture on revivals, he said, the fullness of the Spirit is a necessity in our lives. When Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, he meant that. He meant that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The necessity of going after a Spirit-filled life. When we refuse to yield to the Spirit, we miss out on the holy excitement of living beyond ourselves. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your life producing fruit, or are you just getting by? Do you see Jesus on the water, and all you do is yell at him, and he tells you to come, and you go, nah, it's okay. You can just come on where I'm at. But Jesus is requiring that you get out of the boat. Maybe some of you guys, God's been calling you into ministry for a very long time, but because you don't have all the answers, but because you don't have every puzzle piece, you've refused to obey. Today, choose to be led by the Spirit of God. Choose today to be Spirit-led, to be okay with not knowing every step, every detail, every direction, because when the Spirit of God tells you to step, it's for a good reason. It's for His glory and for your benefit. So I encourage you to get alone with God today and spend time praying about who or what is in control of your life. You and I are going to be controlled by something. There's no doubt about that. But as our opening scripture stated, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Would you stand with me this morning? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we acknowledge, first of all, that moving in a Spirit-led life is very difficult. We know that there are pitfalls. We know that there are storms. We understand that there's trials and temptations. We understand that. We know that if Jesus was not spared of being tempted, then we can't possibly hope to be spared. We understand that even though Jesus, if he wasn't spared, coming to the very end of himself and praying alone in a garden and saying, Lord, if it be your will that this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. God, if we know that you did not spare your only son to come to the very end of himself, then we can't hope to be nonetheless the same. And so because of that, Father, we understand that by your Spirit, we want to be led. We understand that trials will come. We understand that without a Spirit-led life, we can't please you. We can't be led in any direction that produces lasting fruit. We know that nothing supernatural will happen. And so, Father, we choose to lift up our puzzle piece to you today. We lift up that piece that we don't quite understand what it goes to or how it fits, but we trust that you have designed our lives and has a perfect plan for us, that this piece will fit perfectly because your word says that your giftings will make room for us. And so because of that, Lord, we choose today as believers to give up. We choose to stop running. We choose to stop acting like spoiled children that do not get their way. That we have thrown our puzzle piece down many, many times because we just simply didn't understand. But Father, I pray today that faith would rise up. If we could have some prayer workers come down this morning. Maybe some folks from New Freedom, some from Green Bay First. Pastor Jake has called on you in the past to come and pray. I want you to come down now. We're going to take just a little bit of time this morning. And if you're going through something right now that it requires for you to believe bigger than you've ever believed before, you need to be down here right now. Waste no more time. Come now. Come now. If you're about to step out in faith, you need to come now. If you're believing for a new job and it's freaking you out, you need to come down here now. If you're in the midst of a storm and you need that fourth man to be walking in the fiery furnace with you, I want you to come down now. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up to you now our lives. We lift up to you our obedience. We lay it down at the foot of the cross, and we give it over to you. We die to ourselves. Help us to be that living sacrifice. Help us, Father, to be that living sacrifice that dies to ourselves in order that you might live again, so that you might direct us, so that you might breathe new life within us. I pray, Father, for strength and courage. I pray, Father, for tenacity. I pray, Father, for the fullness of the Spirit in their lives to take them beyond where they feel like that they are able to go. Supernaturally call us out of the boat in order that we can live a Spirit-led life. Give us courage for the journey. Help us to be okay with not knowing every detail, with knowing every dot. Because, Lord, we simply choose to trust you today. Father, may you be glorified. May you be honored. In the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, Father, to step when you say step. And when all the questions are asked, God, give us the courage to step. We're not talking about blind faith. We're talking about Spirit-led faith. Father, I pray for those that are battle-weary, those that have struggled, those that are in the fight now, those that are standing fast, those that feel as Jesus did when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, not just a day, not just an hour, but 40 days. Give them strength, Lord. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, our children of God, remind us, Lord, that as we are led by the Spirit, we are no longer aliens, we are no longer orphans, but we are children of the Most High God. With it comes sonship. With it comes an inheritance. Help us, Father, that as we are being led by the Spirit of God and we are walking by the Spirit, that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Give us strength to overcome. In our weaknesses, you are made strong. And help us to have the courage that Paul did when he said, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." Father, would you give us the courage to step where nobody else will step, to go where nobody else is willing to go, and to say, not my will, but your will be done. So Lord, we ask for your Spirit, that one that's called along beside of, to give us power, to give us a sound mind, to give us self-discipline, in order that we can walk this walk out by faith. By faith. Say that with me. By faith. One more time. By faith. Lord, not by what we see, not by what we feel, not by our experiences, not by anything else, only by faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio message by Green Bay First. Pastors and speakers, you're welcome to copy this in your own sermons. Just don't sell it for monetary gain as your own. Feel free to make copies of this audio message file to give to others, but when doing so, please copy it in its entirety as it is presented here. Again, thank you for listening, and we pray that God's Spirit use this message to draw you closer to Christ.